Space Coast Daily Sports Talk, and joining me here on the line after an absolute crazy day for National Signing Day 2017 to discuss the Florida Gators. He is the man that covers the Florida Gators, really every sport, to be quite honest with you. He is Scott Carter from FloridaGators.com. Scott, how are you today? You hanging in there?
Doing well. It's always a crazy day and a long day on a National Signing Day, but it's never boring.
Yeah, no question about it. You look at the day coming into it, Scott, and you read every national projection, and it said that the Gators fans should just get on a ledge and jump off. I mean, it was that gloom and doom in terms of what the prognosticators had for Jim McElwain and company. How did it end up?
Well, you know, I was just looking at the final rankings by all your major recruiting services, you know, and they're in the top 10 in three of the four services, and they're 13th by ESPN. So, you know, at the end of the day, they got a class that's probably going to average about, you know, 10th best in the country. It's one that, you know, is going to be rooted in. They got more top 50 prospects in the state of Florida than any other program. They got 10 of those, which obviously is an emphasis for them, doubled their total from last year. They did really well in the Tampa Bay area, you know, which is important to them, especially now that Charlie Strong is down there with USF. So, overall, Alan, big picture, it was a good day for Florida. Jim McElwain was obviously pretty pleased as we talked to him in the press conference after everything had kind of settled down. There's always a lot of unknowns going into National Signing Day. It seems really for about every school. And that certainly was the case with Florida today. But in the end, I think if you're a Gator fan and you were about to jump off that ledge, I hope you didn't, because, if you just waited a little bit, you step back, you might be okay tonight.
I want to talk about a couple of these recruits, specific recruits, at 3:55 today. It was tweeted out, or maybe even a little earlier than that, that really Florida had got their top running back recruit in Adarius Lemons. Your thoughts on Lemons?
Well, I mean, I know he's physically gifted, a big back, very productive, you know, at Clearwater High. Obviously had some personal issues and cost him the second half of his senior year. It was something that, you know, the Gators closely monitored. You know, they were in contact with him regularly, and they feel confident that they can help him, you know, not only be a good player here at Florida, but also help him, kind of overcome some of the things that maybe he struggled with, off the field. But talent-wise, Alan, I mean, he's a big addition to the class, no doubt about that. Again,
I mean, you look at him and watch him. I'm sorry, go ahead, Scott.
No, again, he comes into a program of, you know, it's not like he has to go in and play right away. They're pretty good with, you know, George Scarlett, Mark Thompson, or Michael Pirine. They also signed Malik Davis today out of Tampa Jesuit. So, you know, at running back, they got some depth. So, but Lemons is one of those guys that can easily fit in there and, you know, mix into the competition right away, you know, if he's healthy and has everything else situated off the field.
Space Coast Daily Sports Talk here. We're talking to Scott Carter from FloridaGators.com, and give him a follow on Twitter. And Scott, I know I just asked you this, at Gators Scott, right?
That is correct. Gators Scott, pretty simple.
All right, at Gators Scott. And Scott, fantastic follow on social media. You know, the thing that I noticed, and maybe it's because McElwain is becoming a little bit more familiar with the state, and maybe it's also, Scott, because – you've now got six coaches in this state that, A, have national names, and, B, are pretty good recruiters. But I noticed that Jim McElwain today, there were quite a few significant signings from within the Sunshine State.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you are at University of Florida, you're going to have to recruit well in this state. And you mentioned earlier, I mean, it's the dynamics here have changed drastically, really, in the last couple of years. Believe it or not, Jim McElwain now is the second longest tenured coach in the state behind Jimbo Fisher of Florida, at, you know, at
yep.
the major programs. So, So that was an emphasis for them, getting some of that elite talent in the state. They had some issues or didn't get as many of those guys they wanted maybe their first couple of years, but they certainly answered that today. I mean, I'm looking at the signing list right here. I mean, so you got Jake Allen from down in St. Thomas Aquinas. So the big name in South Florida they got late today was C.J. Henderson, the cornerback who was between Miami and Florida. He chose the Gators. To Darryl Slayton, he goes by T.J. Slayton, a big kid, defensive tackle out of American Heritage, where also Marco Wilson plays, one of their top corners, the brother of Quincy Wilson. So, they did a good job, really, Alan, in the state, keeping that some of that talent home. And going down in South Florida, where in past years, Miami has owned that. Mark Richt's trying to bring that back for the Hurricanes. But I think having Randy Shannon on staff, he's so good in South Florida, that certainly paid dividends for the Gators, and something McElwain actually touched on, today in his press conference.
He did. I didn't get a chance to see the press conference yet. I've been traveling throughout the Brevard County high schools today. We mentioned, sure. We talked about Livingston running back, and there were some controversial signings today. James Robinson, the wide receiver. Did McElwain address some of these issues off the field? Was he asked about that?
Yeah, no, he did. His thing was there was a lot of misinformation out there in the last couple of days. A lot of things that just weren't true. And, James Robinson, obviously a talented player from Lakeland High, a school that has, for Florida been really big over the years with the Pouncey twins and Ahmad Black and Chris Rainey. Again, this is a guy that has all the physical tools to be a really good college receiver. But he had some issues with a recent trip up to Ohio State, won a citation for marijuana. Also, I guess, there's been questions about his academics. And just McElwain said, basically, there's just a lot of information out there that's been wrong. And, you can look at him, obviously, as maybe a high-risk kid that, about every major program, they're going to take a chance on a couple of those guys. And his point that he was trying to make today is one thing that he tries to do with this program is try to make all these guys part of the family and, has them over to the house and different stuff like that. A lot of coaches do that, obviously. A lot of coaches talk about it. But from my experience around him in his 3 years here, he truly does that. That's a big part of his philosophy. And you don't really have to search too hard to find that it really works because, these players, they love playing for him. And I think Robinson's a guy who, if he has his head on straight, he can really benefit from that kind of environment. I think that's what they're banking on.
We're talking to one of the best out there in terms of covering the Florida Gators. He's Scott Carter from FloridaGators.com. Give him a follow on Twitter, @GatorsScott. Scott, Jim McElwain now is 3 years. Back-to-back SEC championship game appearances. What have you noticed? Because the SEC changes a lot of people, coaches in particular. What major differences do you see in Jim McElwain, or maybe one major difference do you see in Jim McElwain now as opposed to when he arrived on the campus of Gainesville?
That's a good question, Alan. To be honest with you, I haven't seen a lot of change. I mean, he's got that folksy demeanor about him that, some fans really like it. Some aren't that much into it. First and foremost, it's about the players for him. He's been one not to really go deep in detail about criticizing players. He's one of those guys that has even showed some frustration when, fans or the media get too hard on a player for a bad game or whatever. Mm-hmm. I can't say there's been any major changes I've noticed. I think he is who he is. I mean, he's 54 years old. He's pretty comfortable in his own skin. And has he ever been in the spotlight like this, as head coach at University of Florida? No, he hasn't. And, but he's kind of what you see is what you get. And he's been in, a great situation working at Alabama, winning a couple of titles, but obviously he didn't have to deal with the media and, fans as much. So, you do hear mixed reviews, but I don't really see any change specifically in the way that he goes about, you know, just day-to-day business.
The last time you and I talked was a couple of days prior to you heading up to Atlanta for the SEC championship game. Obviously, that didn't go well, but the Gators avoided back-to-back seasons in which they would lose three in a row. How big of a victory? I know it's a bowl game, and it's not where Florida wants to be in terms of the ultimate goal, but they sure couldn't go in there and pull another performance like they did last year at the Citrus Bowl when they were taken down pretty hard by Michigan. How big of a win do you think ultimately it was for Jim McElwain and this program moving forward into next year against Iowa in the Outback Bowl?
Yeah, I do think it was a big win. I think, he showed some emotion after that win because it was important, because you just don't want to go into the offseason with that same storyline. You know, losing to Florida State, losing to Alabama, and then losing your bowl game to a Big Ten school. They played well that day defensively. Chauncey Gardner had a huge game, won MVP of the game. Austin Alford closes his career out with a solid performance. And it was exactly really what they needed. And it was a boost. But, you know, those boosts really don't last long going into the offseason. That's why a day like today, National Signing Day, that was another big boost for him. You just got to start getting on that momentum ride and staying with it. And that's where I think the program maybe has had some trouble in the last few years, with that, building that, sustaining that momentum. And that's really ultimately what he's trying to do. And, you know, you go back to that Outback Bowl win against Iowa, there's no doubt I think that it was important just to set the tone for the offseason, because if you don't win that game, then, you know, you're looking at 8 months before you get back out there on the field in front of fans. And that's just something that's going to hang over the program, kind of like it did in year one, you know, when they started 10-1, which was really surprising to everyone, got the hopes up high, and then, you know, they kind of faltered down the stretch. So to rebound there, I think it was a big positive shift for the program going into, you know, his off season.
And then you mentioned Chauncey Gardner. Of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you a question about him, of course, being from right here in Brevard County, having played for the Cocoa Tigers. Huge for Chauncey to have a game like that. Boy, if I have never seen a football player close strong in a season, it was Chauncey Gardner, Scott.
Yeah, I mean, he really played well the second half of the season. You know, they had some injuries back there, obviously, in the secondary with Marcus May going down, Nick Washington, some of their regulars, and Chauncey stepped right in, and really they didn't miss a beat. And he's one of the guys that they will look to defensively next year to build around, because he's so talented. And Florida's had a lot of great defensive backs in recent years, but just from watching him in that game, he's certainly one of the most dynamic they've had in a while when he has the ball in his hands. I mean, he returned that one for a long touchdown, had a big return on his other interception in that game. And, it's funny because, McElwain doesn't allow the freshmen to talk until the bowl game, and here he was. That was his first time really speaking to the media, at least as a college player. And, boy, he handled himself really well, came off impressive. Obviously, being from Brevard County, you probably have some experience with him. But, I was pretty impressed myself. And there's no doubt he's going to be a key part of what they want to do defensively next year.
Oh, yeah, we definitely got experience with him. I mean, he's definitely, shall we say, a ham in front of the camera. He's definitely pretty good in front of that camera. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, there's no question. I mean, it was amazing. First time I interviewed, I was like, wow. Finishing up here with Scott Carter from FloridaGators.com. Give Scott a follow on Twitter at GatorsScott. And a couple more here real quick, Scott. Senior transfer Austin Appleby done. You've got Luke Del Rio, Felipe Franks, and Kyle Trask. What's this quarterback position going to look like coming into spring?
You know, McElwain was asked today, is Felipe Franks, is he the starter going into spring camp? Because obviously Luke Del Rio is not going to be available after a recent shoulder surgery. And he kind of playfully asked, is that who you want to be? And, they said, yeah. So it looks like Felipe Franks is going to be listed on top of the depth chart, which is not really a surprise, since he was officially the backup down the stretch of the season with Del Rio unavailable. But I think it's still an open competition now. I mean, you know, those both of those guys kind of set and learned last year. They have different skill sets. You know, Felipe Franks is a little bit bigger, maybe a little bit more mobile. Just from talking to players and coaches, I mean, Kyle Trask is very accurate. And, you know, I've seen him many days after practice last year. He'd often be one of the last guys to leave the field. He'd just be out there working with one of the scout team guys just on his precise routes and stuff. And so I think both of those guys are going to go into it like, hey, this could be my job, and that's what you want. And then we're also, you know, we mentioned Jake Allen earlier, a kid from St. Thomas Aquinas, led them to the Class A state championship this year. You know, he's not quite maybe physically where he needs to be. I think he's 6'3", only about 205, but he'll put on some weight. And, you know, by all accounts, this guy's kind of a natural leader. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what he can do, you know, on year one on campus and maybe getting into that mix some.
Scott, did two more here for you. What would you grade, finally, in terms of signing day for the Florida Gators? What kind of a grade would you give it?
I mean, I'm going to go A-minus probably. The one thing that they did – well, they did a few things. I mean, we talked about they really did well in the state of Florida with the top 50 prospects. They did really well in the Tampa Bay area. And they did really well in South Florida. And if you can do that consistently in this state, you're going to always have good roster, a lot of talent. I think, you know, I'm not a big recruiting ranking guy. If there's a knock, you know, some fans will say, well, yeah, but they didn't sign any five stars. They signed mostly four stars and some three stars. Well, you know, I mean, that's, you know how that works. I mean, yeah, Alabama loads up on five stars every year, and a lot of them turn out to be great players. Some are hit or miss, but I don't put too much stock in that, like, in overall to rate a class. I mean, I think what they did today, they put together, filled some needs at defensive back, got six defensive backs in the class, brought in four defensive linemen, three linebackers, and they've also got five mid-year enrollees already on campus participating in workouts. So right there, that's 23 new players, and there could be another one or two added here in the next few days, according to McElwain. So I think they met some needs. They did well in the areas they have to, and, you know, they gained momentum. So, you know, overall, I'd have to give them right there with an A-minus or so. The only thing that would have turned it to an A for me probably would, if they had gotten maybe Levi Jones or one other guy who they were shooting for to really put it maybe even in a top five or six class. But if based on the perception going in and what they were able to do, you know, like I said, it's hard to grade anything other than really a success.
I had one prognosticator say coming into today that, you know, Florida ended up with a top 10 class last year, but there was just absolutely no way that was going to happen, and Donald Trump wasn't going to win the presidency either. You know,
National Signing Day so unique and fun. I mean, it's amazing what it's turned into. But you really just don't know when you're dealing with these 18-year-old kids. I mean, a lot of these guys you just don't know. And I was down in the football office most of the day doing what I do for the website. And you know, you hear these coaches react when a guy, even though they think they're getting him, and it actually comes to fruition, and we're still letting out cheers and stuff because that's life of the recruiter.
The thing that kills me is I love it because all coaches think they're getting everybody. That's the funniest thing in the world. Everybody signing, and it's crazy. It's absolutely. If you've ever had an opportunity to experience something, it's and then the disappointment, because you know, because you cover the scene, that when a guy doesn't send his fax through or whatever it is these days, you're like, come on, coach, you knew you weren't getting him.
Yeah, you know, you're right. You're totally right. And that's kind of how you have to approach it. But at the same time, reality is going to say otherwise because these guys are being chased by all the same schools, at least the elite prospects are. I mean, if you're an elite prospect, you know, in the South, you're probably going to have Florida, Alabama, Georgia, you know, Auburn, all kind of, they know of you. There's very few secrets in recruiting anymore with all the information that's out there.
And it's important to point out, too, you know, you take a Clemson who won the national championship this year, but 44 players on that team that made a significant impact, 36 of those players came from either South Carolina or neighboring states that border South Carolina, in North Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee, and Florida. So, you know, Jim McElwain is definitely following a recipe for success. And, Scott, before I let you go, one question not about football. I'm curious to get your preseason take here on the Florida Gators, who come into the season, Scott, in most polls ranked number two behind TCU this year. Your thoughts on the Gators?
Well, Alan, I mean, I'll be surprised if they're not back in Omaha for, what, the third straight year. I mean, you start with that rotation with Alex Faedo, who can very well be the number one overall pick in the MLB draft next or later this summer. Brady Singer and Jackson Kowar, all three guys can wing it, you know, in the mid-90s or higher. I mean, Kowar, I've seen him clock as high as 98. Anytime you can put three pitchers in college baseball in your rotation like that, and, you know, that's just going to give you a great chance every night or every weekend. And, you know, they have some J.J. Schwartz, Mike Revere. They have a veteran lineup, good middle infield, and Dalton Guthrie at second base, and Deacon Lippitt at third. So, I mean, they've got a lot of good pieces. Like I said, I'll be surprised if they're not back in Omaha. And I think really the next step for this program, and Kevin O'Sullivan will tell you this too, I mean, is to win it all. I mean, they've been there now, five of his 9 years, and they've had some good runs out there, but they've come up short. And, again, they have the team to get back there. It's really all about doing it in Omaha. And he did say the other day they brought in, you know, another great recruiting class, but there's more two-way players in this class than some of the others. And he wants to have more of an expanded roster out there where you can, you know, you can pitch some guys, but they also put them in the field. He's had a heavy dose of just pitchers only because that's what he's so good at developing. But I think he's going with a different philosophy there. We'll see how it pays off later in the year.
I sure would like to see Coach O'Sullivan get one. I mean, I know everybody would, but, man, if anybody deserves it, it certainly is him, Scott.
No, you're right. I mean, you know, Florida fans kind of know about him and stuff, but, you know, you could argue that what he's doing there in recruiting with his staff, they've all been together now, really, the whole time he's been here. They're in their 10th year together. And, I mean, they put together a great program, and it's going to be nice to see them, you know, get – some upgraded facilities here too in the near future.
Yeah.
And it's a program that, you know, people, they force you to pay attention because they're so good.
Yeah, no question about it. We'll get you back on again real soon here to talk some Gators basketball. A big game coming up this week against Kentucky, but they've got to get past Missouri first. And Scott, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy evening to come on and talk with us here on Space Coast Daily Sports Talk. I really appreciate it. And give Scott a follow on Twitter and follow all of his work at Gators Scott and check his work out at FloridaGators.com. Scott, thanks a lot.
Hey, no problem, Alan. Thank you.